What if you could double the probability of a new drug making it to market? New data published by OncLive suggests that drugs designed using artificial intelligence are achieving phase 1 clinical trial success rates of 80 to 90%. That's a staggering improvement over historical benchmarks, and it signals a fundamental shift in how medicines are created. This isn't just about faster research. It's about radically de-risking one of the world's most expensive industries. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly strategic briefing on the technology developments shaping U.S. and European industry. I'm your host, Susie.
And I'm Troy, your analyst.
This week, we're focused on a revolution in the biopharmaceutical sector with major implications for technology, manufacturing, and investment. First, we'll break down how AI is moving from a buzzword to a core R&D engine, dramatically improving the odds of clinical success. Then, we'll analyze a landmark FDA approval that ushers in a completely new way to fight disease, targeted protein degradation. Finally, we'll look at the next billion-dollar race in genetic medicine, the challenge of precision drug delivery. Troy, let's start with AI. We hear about it everywhere, but what's actually happening right now in pharmaceutical R&D that executives need to understand?
The core change is a strategic shift from using AI for just speed to using it for quality and de-risking. The business case is no longer about finding more drug candidates, but about finding the right candidates and, critically, eliminating the ones doomed to fail before they enter expensive human trials.
How does that work in practice?
It's happening across the entire early-stage pipeline. For target identification, AI, like the platforms from Recursion Pharmaceuticals and Exscientia, can analyze vast biological datasets to find novel disease pathways. Then, for molecule design, generative models like RF diffusion or the Chemistry 42 platform from InSilico Medicine can design entirely new proteins or small molecules optimized for a specific target. InSilico just received FDA Fast Track designation for a pan-TE inhibitor designed this way.
And this is what's leading to those 80, 90% success rates in early trials?
Exactly. By predicting toxicity, pharmacokinetics, and binding affinity with much higher accuracy, AI acts as a powerful gatekeeper. It ensures that the molecules advancing to phase 1 trials are of a much higher quality. AstraZeneca has formalized this into what they call a build, measure, learn cycle, all driven by AI.
So how does this specifically affect US and European manufacturers in the pharma space?
For major pharmaceutical companies, it's an arms race for computational talent and proprietary data. For smaller biotechs, it levels the playing field in discovery, allowing them to compete with giants. For contract development and manufacturing organizations, or CDMOs, the nature of demand is changing. They'll see fewer, but more complex and higher potential molecules coming their way for production.
What should trading companies and distributors be watching?
They need to recalibrate how they assess pipeline risk. An AI-validated drug candidate from a company like InSilico Medicine could have a fundamentally different probability of success. This impacts everything from early-stage investment and partnerships to market entry timing. Understanding a company's AI strategy is now a crucial part of due diligence.
And the single actionable insight for an executive listening now.
If you are in the life sciences sector, you must invest in building or acquiring a top-tier computational biology team. If you're in an adjacent industry, like specialty chemicals, anticipate a rising demand for novel, complex molecular building blocks that these AI platforms will be designing.
Troy, let's move to our next big story. On May 1st of this year, the FDA approved a drug called vepdegestrant. Why is this one approval so significant?
Because vepdegestrant, brand name Vepanu, is the first ever approved PROTAC. PROTAC stands for Proteolysis Targeting Chimera. This approval from Arvinas and Pfizer validates an entirely new therapeutic modality known as targeted protein degradation, or TPD.
That's a lot of terminology. Break it down for us. What is a PROTAC and how is it different from a traditional drug?
Most drugs work as inhibitors. They find a problematic protein in the body and block its function. A PROTAC is fundamentally different. It's a heterobifunctional molecule, essentially a molecular tool with two ends. One end grabs the disease-causing protein, and the other end grabs a component of the cell's natural waste disposal system, an E3 ubiquitin ligase. It brings them together, and the cell's machinery tags the bad protein for destruction. It doesn't just block the protein, it eliminates it.
So you're hijacking the cell's own garbage disposal to take out the trash. What does this mean for US and European drug developers?
It opens up a new frontier.
An estimated 85% of proteins have been considered undruggable because they lack a clear site for an inhibitor to bind. TPD offers a way to go after these targets, which is a massive opportunity, especially in oncology. European and U.S. firms who pioneered this have a significant first-mover advantage.
But a new technology like this must present new challenges, especially for manufacturing.
Absolutely. These are not simple molecules. Manufacturing them at scale with consistent quality is complex, and it introduces major strategic risks in capacity planning. We just saw this in the related field of antibody-drug conjugates, or ADCs. Daiichi Sankyo recently reported an $850 million charge because demand for its hugely successful ADCs fell below the minimum purchase requirements they'd guaranteed with their contract manufacturers.
So a trading company or a supply chain partner needs to be aware of this volatility.
Precisely. For trading companies, this creates a new market for the chemical components of PROTACs, the linkers, the E3 ligase binders. But for manufacturing partners, the Daiichi Sankyo example is a stark warning. Forecasting demand for these revolutionary but highly specific drugs is incredibly difficult. Overinvesting in dedicated capacity can be financially ruinous if forecasts are off.
What is the key action executives should consider now?
Pharmaceutical R&D leaders must be actively evaluating TPD platforms to see where they can address previously untreatable diseases in their pipelines. For executives at CDMOs, the strategic question is whether to make the high capital investment in the specialized capabilities needed to produce these complex molecules. It's a high-stakes bet on the future of medicine.
Troy, for our final segment, let's talk about the technology that made mRNA vaccines possible, lipid nanoparticles, or LNPs. The focus seems to be shifting. What's the new challenge?
The new challenge is targeting. The LNP is the delivery vehicle, the envelope that protects and carries the mRNA message to our cells. For the COVID vaccines, getting the LNP anywhere in the body was sufficient, and it naturally accumulated in the liver. But the future of mRNA medicine, from personalized cancer vaccines to gene therapies for cardiovascular disease, depends on solving what I call the zip code problem.
The zip code problem?
Yes, the ability to send an LNP to a specific address in the body, a tumor, the heart, the brain, and nowhere else. A recent review in an American Heart Association journal highlighted that heart-specific delivery for treating myocardial infarction remains a massive unsolved challenge. While new lipid engineering can now target the lungs or spleen, the heart remains elusive for systemic delivery.
So for U.S. and European life science companies, the opportunity is in cracking that code.
Exactly. The company that develops a clinically validated LNP platform that can reliably target cardiac tissue or cross the blood-brain barrier will unlock multi-billion dollar markets. We're already seeing this focus on targeted delivery. Researchers at Penn Engineering just developed an LNP that co-delivers two drugs to treat oral cancer, simultaneously killing tumor cells and reprogramming the immune system right at the site of the disease.
This sounds like it would have big implications for the supply chain. This isn't just standard lab equipment.
Correct. We are moving beyond standard lipids. The key to targeting lies in proprietary, highly engineered components, novel ionizable lipids, phospholipids, and specific pegylated lipids. A new high-value market is emerging for the few global manufacturers who can produce these advanced excipients at clinical-grade purity. For distributors, securing a reliable supply of these specialized lipids will become a major competitive advantage.
What should an executive in this space be doing right now?
The value proposition has bifurcated. It's no longer just about the therapeutic payload, but equally about the delivery vehicle. Biotech and pharma executives must be scouting, licensing, or acquiring platform companies that specialize in novel delivery systems. If you're developing a nucleic acid therapy, in-house LNP formulation expertise is now a non-negotiable strategic asset.
All right, Troy, it's been a dense week. Let's distill this down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
First, AI in drug discovery is now a core competitive tool for de-risking R&D. It's no longer experimental. If your organization is not using generative AI for target identification and lead optimization, you are falling behind your US and European rivals.
Second,
the era of targeted protein degradation is officially here with the first PROTAC approval. This creates enormous therapeutic opportunities, but also introduces new, complex risks in manufacturing and capacity planning. Executives must learn from the ADC space and balance technological ambition with pragmatic demand forecasting.
And finally,
The next big win in genetic medicine will come from solving the delivery problem. The focus has shifted from the mRNA message to the LNP envelope. The ability to target specific tissues beyond the liver is the critical hurdle, and companies that solve this will dominate the next decade of therapeutics.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Troy, thank you for the analysis.
My pleasure, Susie.
Join us again next week for Troy Technical Intelligence, where we translate technology developments into actionable business strategy for U.S. and European leaders. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a briefing. Thank you for listening.